And you might like to turn in your Bible to Galatians, if you could. And in Galatians, and in chapter 1a. So, as we've been looking at a couple of times, and not wrongly, at Galatians, in the sense of what? God's enjoying God's grace. And the problem with enjoying God's grace, that means that you're going to let God be the creator and God be the savior. And God being the only God and the only Savior, then you enjoy just plain old God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever. He's God. Now, but the problem comes because God gave, and as you know, Adam and Eve and all of that, and the system. God wants to be God. When you come all to the end of everything, 1 Corinthians 15, when you come to the end, God said, and God the Son, in his perfect humanity, is going to go before all of angels and everybody that's left in heaven, and he's going to go and hand over. The perfect humanity of Christ is going to hand over to God in the presence of everything, everyone. God, 1 Corinthians 15, that God must be all in all. And everything else is, it's all about God. He's the creator. He's the savior. So, in the system that we live in, and to catch that flavor of that, the old nature rebels against that. Because, just think of Lucifer, son of the morning, in Isaiah 14, etc. And Lucifer, son of the morning, became Satan, the devil. Now, what was his problem? He had an awesome position before God as the lead angel of all the angels. He was the lead one. And having that position, he saw himself. He said, wow, I'm somebody. And that was his problem. Ezekiel 38, pride. And it shot him down. And Lucifer became Satan. He lost everything. He coveted, he won. He saw himself apart from God. Apart from God, all that God did in him and for him disappeared. And he was left in his bankruptcy. Comes humans along, and humans are there, and humans are awesome. Awesome little people, Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, oh, what are you going to do, Adam and Eve? I'm going to look around and see dinosaurs and rhinoceroses and every kind of animal, all kinds, huge animals. And we're the boss. Us little guys, Adam and Eve, we're the boss. They were the boss. That's rather prestigious, isn't it? Wow, like Lucifer. So humans, pride. And the devil got Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And thus the devil said to Eve, hey, listen, it's so wonderful to know good, to know God. But you're not knowing evil. God knows evil. You don't know evil. Well, we don't. And we're somebody. So therefore, we must be God's holding out. So if we can have some more, why not have some more position, power, prestige? Why not? So they sinned. Now, so therefore, humanity is going down the corridor of time. Genesis 11 and all, you know, religion comes along the tower, Genesis 11, the tower, to reach closer to the stars and the sun and the moon, to worship God as we brought God down to be in the creation. So we, astrology, everything. And we're going to worship religion, God. That's what we're going to do. And we build the tower and a city. We're somebody. And God, we're going to honor you for being. And knowing all the while that Ezekiel 14 and that all religion that we make comes out of our own heart. We make it. And then we worship what we make. Now, you got that part. So, religion is a system of works. System where we create whatever system we do, and then we work to be approved and honored by the system we work. So if we do the things that are right for Zeus and for Mercury or somebody else, then Zeus will honor us. And that's why way back when people were very smart, but they were very stupid, they had all this religion. And you have all the gods. You don't have them today so much, pantheism and all of that, but you don't have what they used to have. Every nation had their god and had their gods. And they honored their gods and went to war over their gods. That's what they did. So, I want to lose where I'm trying to go. But, so, a system. We work. We work. Religion is a system whereby we work. Legalism. We do something to merit, to get something. And we do it. And so if we do our part, we expect God, as we would think of him, to do his part. Because we merit it, we earned it, etc. We deserve it. And therefore, that's the system of works. It's the best system the devil has. The best system. There's doubt, there's disappointment, 1,000 words. But there's no power like the devil has to keep you, to keep a human away from enjoying God. Is works, because then it's a little bit or a lot about us, and it's not about us, but we think it's about us because we deserve and merit. So legalism is a real, it's his system, works. And does the system work? Religion, you bet it does. Think of the religions, you can go right down them. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, whatever you want to do. Catholicism, all works, 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 works. Do this, do this, do this. And you get this. And system, so works. We're somebody, we like it. But being saved is grace. And that means you understood you were a sinner in bankruptcy and you needed to be saved. Now, hang on. Now, grand example of works. Everyone's doing the system. Abraham believed God, not by works. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. Now we come to Moses, and Israel is given the right to continue enjoying what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. To enjoy what they do, what a unique relationship to God. So Exodus, as you know, 19, 4 through 6, God chose them to be the nation to show all nations that he was God And God would be their king, God would be their government, God would be their religion, their worship. They would God, all about God, Israel. But that arrangement was not understood, was not taken up. That arrangement of works was continued because the nation of Israel, as you know, Exodus 19 and verse 8, all that you say, we will do. All that you say, God, we'll do it. We can do it. We can do it. That's works. Now, and as you turn the pages of history in the Bible, turn the pages, what do you keep finding? God says something, I will do it. We'll do it. Where are we today? Where is Israel today? Right there. System of works. And if you hit the dear Jewish people in the right spot at the right time, they understand works. They have to work. You work at it. And they do. If you hit that, if you want to buy something and do something, if you hit the dear person in the right time and the right way, they'll be so gracious to discount, to give you a benefit. It's a work. It's a work for them. It's something they're doing to show their works, their good works. And you hit them right, and I said, don't want to do that, but you know it's me. And they'll do it. Yeah, works. Now, so that's the work system. And of all the things that are deadly, you can murder, you could do a whole lot of things, but nothing will cripple you like works. It puts you out of business with God. You can confess killing 10 people, and you did it. That's true. Then you get back to God. Works disconnects you from God. People don't know it. So our Protestantism, Catholicism, each thing is works. Muslim, we bow. What are we going to do every day? We're going to bow down, Mecca, noon, or whatever. We all bow down. And we do it, and we're committed to it. I remember being in the airport in L.A. a long time ago at the time. And it was noon. And the cab drivers, you wanted a taxi cab, you needed a taxi cab. But you couldn't get a taxi cab at that time because all of them were Muslim. And they were all outside their cabs, bowing down. Bowing down. Works. 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 Are you getting the idea? Now I'm going to try to redo it for you so you see it. You'll want to see it. When God, I'll do it. Over to Galatians. As you know on works, and so we've been sharing it, so you know, and in the process, and so legal works, system, us doing stuff, and we shared how easy it is. We did them all. They don't want to do them again. In the process, you know, I didn't read my devotions, God, that's why I've got a bad day. I didn't read my devotions this morning. That's why I can't find a parking place. I can't find a parking place because I didn't do my devotions. Works. We don't even know we do it. We don't even know we do it. Works. It cuts us out of business. We don't even know we do it. Oh, I should have done this. That's true, but what's that got to do with God's grace? Nothing. So therefore, in Galatians 1, remember we shared verse 8 and 9, is to remind ourselves how deadly this problem is. But though we are we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then you're going to repeat it. As he said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that is that you have received, let him be accursed. Double. Boy, you got to get it. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, accursed, and we looked in God's, and the book of Galatians is about, as you know, among other things, what was happening, the Judaizers that were coming in to works, what were they saying? Well, it's wonderful to believe on the Lord Jesus, but you have to do the law. You have to go and be circumcised, et cetera, which we did. Got to keep the law. So it's two things. You're saved. Wonderful. A, trusting God. B, keeping the law. That makes you saved. That makes you saved. That because you're doing. We're all doing. Make sure you do so that we all feel comfortable. Because if you don't live under the law, work by grace, work by works, then that makes us look bad. So we have to go and make sure everyone's on the same page in some form. Now, so, therefore, over in Galatians chapter 5, and in Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 1. Remember, we're looking at the ministry. That's what we've been doing. We're not looking at Galatians in particular. We're looking at the ministry of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is everywhere, from Genesis 1:1 to all the way. He's the part. He makes all of God, all that God has made possible on Calvary's cross. The Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that work. All of that real. That's his job. And when the Spirit of God is doing it, then the Father and the Son, the whole God, in his essence, nature, being, is being God in your life. Now, so, Galatians 5, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, works system. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. What do you think nothing means? Well, he's a wonderful Savior, but you don't enjoy that because you've got works. You don't enjoy being saved because you have to save yourself. You see, now, so, verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. The whole law. Now, hang on to that. What do you know about James? James chapter 2, what? Hang on, I'm going to check it. James chapter 2. Let me see what that, what did you say, James? James chapter 2. And chapter 2, and in sliding down over to directly in the light of the context, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep. In other words, they were trying to honor the rich person came in, and they wanted to make sure that the beggar came in, and they didn't do anything. The rich man came in. They said, boy, what can we do? You know, they gave him a free Tootsie Roll and everything to just make him happy. Came in. Ah, works. And that's what chapter 2 is about, as you catch it. Verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, not by works. So we don't want to get into the system where we're doing the. Oh, I'm sorry, I read the wrong thing there. I have my finger in Galatians and my finger in James. Okay, James is what I just said. Now, in James chapter 2, keep the whole law. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. I say that's right. Now let me go where that comes from. Back over, at least in part, over to Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy chapter 27, as you would know. And in Deuteronomy chapter 27, here's all the curses reflecting the law. And when you come to the last one, chapter 27, Deuteronomy, verse 26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, for all the people shall say amen. All of it. You do all of the law. And you can't miss one point. And an illustration, you could use it better than I do. Remember the mountain again, and the airplane comes, and the airplane misses the mountain by 1 foot. One lousy 12 inches, and the plane crashes. Next plane coming along is down halfway up Mount Everest, up to the sky, high air, and here it comes, boom, crash. They all die. If you fail in one point, you fail in all of it. The result is the same. How many sins make you lost? How many sins do you need to be a lost sinner? The wages of sin is death. The sting of sin is death. All you need is one sin, and you're out of business, no matter how you want to spell it. Now, so, back over, if I can, to Galatians. Then in Galatians in chapter 5, and you will note, verse 4, Christ is become of no effect, and oh, unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You're missing out. It's either law or grace. It's either the works. What's the law do? The law is written because you say you can do it. And the law measures up here, a yardstick gold, 1,000 feet high. And when you stand at the foot of the 1,000, measure up. You never measure up. The way to say that, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They just miss the boat. They just miss it. Plain old miss it. Now, so having said that, verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. So you have to go, and it's the law, whether you do the law, Romans 2, or you didn't do the law. You can't do the law. That's the whole point. Israel wanted to do the law, and they can't do the law. It has to be by grace. By grace, no works. No works. And you get works in, then you exclude God, and you don't want to do that. So therefore, we have this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful freedom and liberty back up to verse 1. Therefore, we in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free Free, free. Well, what does it mean when you say free? Free in what kind of way? Free. Well, he gives you a wonderful freedom to be free from what? Works. Free from works. You don't have to do anything. I don't want you to do anything. Nothing. Just take what I get, says God. Take what I give. That's all I want you to do. That's all you can do. I did the work. I took care of the sin problem on Calvary's cross, he said. I did all this. You didn't do it. I did to save you by grace. That's what I'm doing, to save you by my wonderful grace. So, and therefore, we have a liberty, a freedom, a wonderful freedom. Freedom from what? You don't have to do it. You're free from every worry, problem, mind, your mind trying to come up with the right answers, the mind trying to come up with the right thing to do, the right thing to say, the right time to do whatever, and we're caught up in it. We're caught up in this world, in our mind. That's what we're caught up. You're free. The believer is free. It's not about you or me. It's about him. Free. What do you think heaven's about? Heaven isn't like here. Heaven isn't awesome. Everything's fine. Now, if you didn't get that, I can't do that, be free like that. I don't know how to enjoy that. That's the trouble. Believers don't understand as they ought how to understand being set free. If the truth will make you free, Romans 8:32, what? You'll be free indeed. Now, in order to see that, in fact, to do that, so we lead into that, Romans 8:32 for a minute. Romans 8:32. And God help us. Romans 8:32. Picking up, if I may. I did say Romans 8:32. I'm going to read it since I went to it. It isn't what I want, but you'll get it'll lead us there. It is not to be lost. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I didn't plan that, but God fit it in, so go right along with it. Why not? Don't argue with God. So, Romans 8:32. I'd said it again. Boy, you like that. John 8:32. And in John 8:32. I want to read verse 31 again. Then said 8:31, John. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe in him, if you continue, abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed of a truth. And being my disciples, you shall know, verse 32, the truth, and the truth will make you free. Sliding down now, as you know, to verse 35. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, God, Christ Jesus, is always in God's holy heaven, and so are we. Therefore, if the Son is there, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. 8:32, the truth will make you free. What's the truth? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What do you mean? I am, thy word is true. The Son will make you free. Thy word, truth, will make you free. The Son will make you free. He is the Word become flesh. He'll make you free. Jesus makes us free. Free. Yeah, free. How many believers do you know, do you think, that you know, that understand that? That they're free. Really. Oh, we study. That's right. When we learn, oh, we do. We do. Yeah. Wow. If I had to do my little half a cent's worth today, if the Lord tarries and you and it works, God, I worked hard. Now you got to do it. And no, he doesn't. All of my effort is nothing. I never count anything in and of and of my mind in any way. None of it, none of the thoughts that are in a head are to interfere with the freedom, the relationship that we have, which is flawless. It has no problems. It is perfect. And none of my anythings make it better. That makes sense? None of my anythings make it better. I do what I do in order to try to do it. You can't cook the apple pie unless you cut the apples and use the oven. You just can't do it. That doesn't make you God anything. It just means you can't make an apple pie. So God, we're going to have to trust you. Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't trust me for 2 cents. That's, well, anyway, you don't care. Now, so therefore the truth will make you free. Now, translate that into some practical thing so that I don't think, well, I'll think about that, see. I'm going to think about that and maybe I'll understand it, maybe. Yeah, good. Ah, come on. Now, over if I can, so you can see. I'll pick it up yourself. Over if I can, 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians, where are you, 2 Corinthians? And 2 Corinthians and, oh, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians and chapter 3, and just tying it all together in a package. Chapter 3, verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. You can't have a Spirit of God without liberty. That's why he has to be involved. Because you won't know liberty. You won't know freedom without the Spirit of God. I believe in Jesus. That's right. But you won't know the enjoyment of your belief without the Spirit of God. Now, so therefore, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we therefore are going to do what? But we all with open face, no cloth or anything else. We look straight into the mirror to see just what we look like. We all with open face beholding as in a mirror, as in a glass. The glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So as we're looking at God's word, God says, no works. I'm letting it pop out of the pages at you. You're looking at the Bible, no works. No works shall glory in my presence. No flesh shall glory in my presence. In the same time, what are you doing? God has said me, crucified me, taken me to the cross. At the same time, I'm still looking in the mirror. Still looking in the mirror. At the same time, I understand I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm brand new. Brand new. New. Brand new. I am. How did I get that? I kept looking. I didn't turn away. I kept reading. I saw myself. I saw the system. I saw what God was after. I was condemned. In the same breath, I was lifted up. You understand? I'm letting God get to me. Therefore, get to me, God. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you remember we did Corinthians and 8, 9, and 10 connected. And 8, 9, and 10 go together. And in the process, when you come to the end of what you eat, don't eat, and all that stuff, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if I can, going directly, verse 30. 4, 10, 30, 1 Corinthians. 4, if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? So, verse 31. Whether, therefore, ye eat or drink or whatever you do, do all, A-L-L, to the glory of God. I'm free. I'm free. Now you say, well, this side likes rice. This side likes spaghetti. Okay. And the rice people are over here. And the spaghetti people are over here. There they are. So there they are. And the rice people say, well, we have certainly more. We don't have to. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. Because I don't even know how to make rice things. So spaghetti things. Anyway, I guess you just take dough and make strips of it. I don't know what you do. What do you do to make spaghetti? There's something. You make spaghetti, you know. Comes in a box along things. Now you got what? So, what are we going to do? We're free. That's right. You can eat your rice and you eat your spaghetti. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it to the. And then we got back here, they're only meat eaters. They're only cannibals. Cannibals, yeah. But forget that. I don't even know what they are. So there they are. Whatever you do, you're free. It's nothing to do with what you eat. You do what you normally have to do. You have to go and do everything as a human. You have to wash and do what you eat and everything, drink and do what you have to do. Everyone has to do what they have to do. Do it. Because you're made to do it. You're made humans. You got to eat. You got to sleep. You got to do stuff. You have bad teeth and all this. You got to have all this stuff. It's part of being human. But whatever you do, when you go to the dentist with thanksgiving, be glad he's there. Do it to the glory of God. You're free. It's nothing to do with what you eat or do. It's nothing to do with that. Nothing. You're free. You're free to live your life within reason, in a healthy, moral, and right kind of way, and do it rightly. Your behavior. Your behavior is governed by the grace of God, because whatever you do, you're doing this unto the Lord. That governs it. That governs it. So whenever you go somewhere, and here you are, and you're there, and God's right there. Proverbs chapter 1, he said, never wisdom, make sure you never go anywhere without wisdom. Always have wisdom as a companion. So wherever you go, and I told you all these things, when I was a little boy having to deliver valuable stuff in paper bags, my father's silversmith and all that stuff, into Scully Square. And Scully Square back then was a bad place. It isn't today, but back then it was. That's where you go to the bad guys and prostitution and everything, Scully Square. And I'd have to go to the jewelers and stuff down through there. And I go through and made my little bag. And I remember this little boy. I said, go on. I never went through. I went through it just like that. Why? Because God was with me. That's how I did it. God was with me. Wisdom was with me. And therefore, wisdom governs me. It governs us, what we do. God's with you. And whatever you do, do it. Do it as unto God. Would God be happy that you just shot three people in the grocery store? No. No, no, no. That you just emptied the cash register? No. You wouldn't do that. God's there. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. You're free. You're free to do. It's marvelous. That's what being free is. I'll set you free to enjoy your relationship. Otherwise, your relationship's governed by your works. Am I doing right, thinking right, coming out right? God, are you happy? God, wherever you are, I don't know where you are. A fellow came by the other day, maybe from Ray, was selling something or whatever, sent him over to take care of bugs and stuff. Anyway, and he was an open fellow, young fellow, dear young man. He showed me what he's going to do. And killed the bugs and that. Anyway, we got into, I don't know how we did it, just slid into it and talking. And I said, listen, I'm a Catholic. I have a New Testament in my pocket. I said, good. I said, no. Anyway, I just reminded him of 100 things. But here I said, we're in the presence of God. You don't have to go anywhere. You can't know him without opening that book and reading, God so loved the world that he gave his only, et cetera, et cetera. Yet you're in his presence. You're always in his presence. You'd never know because you can't see him. But once you believe and receive Christ as your Savior, it'll become different. Like Moses, seeing him who is invisible. That's how you did it, Moses. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Peter, we don't see him. We aren't there. But we're enjoying what? A relationship. Do it again. Colossians. And Colossians and chapter 3. And you will notice Colossians chapter 3. And in verse, going if I can, to verse 16. 3 and 16, Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17. 4, whatsoever you do, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Enjoy the relationship in this body on planet Earth. So whatever you do, don't let the relationship get loused up by your system, your works. You didn't earn the relationship. You're to enjoy the relationship while you're here. So you can get your pain, your headache, and all the things, and you can go through it all, understanding God's awesome, wonderful relationship that isn't touched by anything. Nothing disturbs it. Nothing can change it. And all the benefits that come from the relationship are thus enjoyed because you're letting the relationship roll over to your body. And as you think, remember, as you think in your heart, your soul housing the spirit, and your soul and spirit being housed in the body, your body enjoys you. Out here, it could have terrible, you could be in a prison camp out here, but in here, you can enjoy a wonderful relationship to God. So your body isn't beaten up this way and then this way from inside, which is stress, distress, And therefore, what do? You're looking to God. Colossians 3, and go over to chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, with your whole heart, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Back to the relationship. It doesn't matter whether you're thanked, you don't like, people like you, it's nothing to do with that. You just enjoy the relationship. And whatever you do, you enjoy and work with people as best you can, do the best you can, and exercise it, and make sure, because God loves them and wants them saved. So we don't have a problem with that. No, God loves them and wants them saved. That's for sure. So therefore, we don't have that problem. So we're looking to God to do what he does in the way that he does it. Now, and therefore, are you getting the idea? You're getting the idea. It's a wonderful relationship. It is wonderfully practical, simple, real, and right. And it works. It literally works. That's pie in the sky by and by. No, it's pie in your plate. Eat it. Wow. Now, we've sort of just been wandering. Hope you got a little bit to see it. If you don't see it, you'll be just a normal Christian again. Normal Christian in a normal way. Yeah, what you got? You're no excitement. To the believer that's seeking, you're no excitement. You don't excite me about God. I want to be excited about your God. I want to know your God. That's what I want to do. I don't need to be a Protestant, a Catholic, or a Jewish, or whatever it is. I'm a faithful, I'm a bishop. Anyway, you got the idea. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God wonderfully, wonderfully goes and sets us free. Now, and so therefore, add to that, I got to be careful on time. First Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, if I can, in chapter 5. So therefore, 1 Thessalonians 5, picking up, if I may, when you come to the end of 1 Thessalonians, as you know, God gives you some very quick, easy instructions on how to remember our Lord would say, not my will, but thine be done, as we said. I want your will, God. So God, you got to help us. So God does. Therefore, verse 16, of a command, present tense, rejoice evermore. I want you to be always relaxing and enjoying. I want you to enjoy your relationship and practice it without works. Works will never do it. Your efforts will never do it. Because you're somebody, you'll never do it. Because you went to school, it'll never do it. It'll never do it. No, you're going to have to just allow me, said God, to be God. Therefore, rejoice. Rejoice. Always. Count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of temptations. And our Lord added to that what? I give you my joy. For your joy. I'm going to give you God's joy. Enjoy my joy, said God, for you. When? 24 hours a day. The relationship's never touched. Always by grace. Nothing to do with you or anybody else. Anywhere, anyhow. You just enjoy it. And secondly, pray without ceasing and keep abiding like the branch in the vine and don't stop. And verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To what? Give thanks. Because what's going to break you? It's a relationship you have. None. It's you just not enjoying it because you aren't exercising it, because you're trusting something about something somewhere that you need to think about and do and work out, whatever. And you do all of that, but don't let it interfere with your relationship. Don't let it louse up your relationship. Is that all right? I got to quit. There. Yeah.